Hello, I'm Nicolette Swaby, host and producer of the Roadblock Podcast, with this a very special episode. Welcome. To some, it may be fiction, but to those of us who believe, it's our very life. I will never forget the day I decided to follow Jesus, to give him my entire heart, my whole life. I got baptized in an old country river and filled with the Holy Spirit. And looking back over the years, I can say that's the best decision I've ever made in my entire life. There is no greater feeling, no greater joy, no greater freedom. Inside of this heart-to-heart session, we want to talk to you about this great freedom that we have experienced in Christ. He has changed our lives, and we believe that he's able to change your life. You may be searching and wondering, there has got to be more to life than this. You may be saying, I need more. And you may be wondering, what is the more that you need? Well, we want to speak to you today. And if you are saved, but you are still searching, there is still a hunger. We know that that hunger is nothing but the knowledge of Christ. You long to be filled up with that knowledge, and that knowledge is the mystery of Christ, the mystery unveiled that he is in you, and the beauty of what that means. So come on with us, and let us dive into the awesome Savior, Lord, Healer, Deliverer, the one that we choose to follow. And we hope that you will too.
It was a very early age for me that I chose to follow Jesus. It was very much, my environment was conducive for that. At various points in my life, my parents have served as pastors and missionaries. So it was modeled to me very early on. At the same time, my parents never forced anything on us children. My dad would even say to us, like, this is a choice you have to make. We can't make you follow Jesus. So I was very blessed in that. I know lots of people who have been pastors' kids don't have that kind of freedom or choice, and they end up like pushing God out of their lives because they felt like it was something they never wanted in the first place. But that's a topic for another time. But so for me, I was in a great, great environment. Growing up, I would hear all sorts of crazy stories of the goodness of God and the closeness of God. God listening to people's prayers and answering them. So God was never this foreign idea, foreign figure. He didn't just create earth and bounce and is like, yeah, you guys sort yourselves out. It was the exact opposite of that. It was like God wanted to be involved in everyday lives of people. So I didn't experience that so much personally, but I would see it in family members and in church and just the surrounding I was in. I would see it happening with other people. And it would be things such as like blind people being prayed for and they're getting their sight, or a friend was bedridden for years and they're prayed for and instantly they're healed. No more complications. So it'd just be crazy instances of stuff like this. And it was enough for me to say, all right, I know there is a God. I believe that. I believe it's Jesus. I believe he rose from the dead, died for my sins. So that was enough for me to just have this belief.
Hi, I'm Keitha, and the reason why I have chosen Christ is because I needed a savior. I was sad, broken, depressed at the point of suicide. I know I needed deliverance, and I heard the gospel. I heard of the perfect unconditional love that Jesus died on the cross, and I have chosen to believe in that love. I have accepted that love. I have accepted Jesus Christ And I have been walking with Christ from that day in perfect love, perfect joy.
This perfect love and joy is not just for some people. It is made available to all who would believe. This takes us back to what Jeremy alluded to concerning belief. You may know that there is a higher power, or that there is a God that you should serve, or you may be convinced that yes, God is real. But it is time to take that a bit further. Will you go all the way? The songwriter of the song, Mary, Did You Know, asked a very interesting question. Because even though Mary knew that she was about to give birth to the Savior, the one that would take the people out of their sins, we can ask, did she really know the magnitude of the one that she was carrying, the one that she would deliver into the world? That not only would he save the people, but she too needed to encounter the life that he was about to bring on this earth. New life. Salvation was about to come and kiss earth, awaken us, and set ablaze a revival that would change hearts and nations. That reality continues today. All over the world, there is a hunger and a thirst for something more. But do you know that that baby boy has come? He indeed is the Savior of the world, and he is the only one by which men can be saved. He's the only one that can save, heal, deliver, and set the captives free. He is Jesus, the nation's desire, the only one who can give us new life, the only one that can invade our hearts, wash us clean, and set us on a path to glory. My job and your job is to believe. Believe in Jesus. So I ask again, will you go all the way? Do you want more? Well, more has come.
When I think of the word freedom, I think of, or I should say, what automatically comes to mind is the Holy Spirit and the sons of God. And let me tell you why. There's a scripture inside of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty wherever the Spirit of the Lord is. And the Spirit of the Lord is in the sons of God. And so we are free. We are free. There's liberty within. We are free. We are free to serve God. All right? We are truly free to serve God. And only those with the Spirit of God, only those that are born again believers, walking in the Spirit, are truly free from God, free from sin. Truly free, right? And someone may say that's a bold statement to make, because I am not, you know, in prison. I'm not in jail. I'm not held captive in any form, shape or form. But I'm not talking about a physical captivity. I'm not talking about physical freedom, but I'm talking about spiritual freedom, right? And then the same person may say, well, same is true. I'm free. I'm free to make my own decisions. I'm free to do my own thing. I have a choice. But I want to tell you that you actually are not. You're not free if you don't have the Spirit of God. Because you can be behind bars, held captive behind bars, and still not free spiritually, and vice versa. You can be free in the natural, but you're held captive, you're not free in the spirit. And why do I say that? I say that because spiritually, and that's really what we're talking about, the spiritual freedom. Spiritually, for as human beings, we are with one spirit or another. There's a spirit inside of mankind. It is either the spirit of iniquity, which is the spirit of the devil, spirit of Satan, or the spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. One or the other is within mankind, right? And you can't have both. You just can't have both. It's either or either, right? The spirit of iniquity, which we are born with. And I know a lot of people know the scripture, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So that's that spirit that all mankind is born in, you know? And if you don't have that, if you're not born again, which is having that another birth, and a spiritual birth, another birth, if you're not born again with the spirit of God, then you have the spirit of iniquity. You'll just continuously have that spirit of iniquity, right? So with that spirit of iniquity, is a spirit of bondage. It's a spirit of bondage. So you're not free. You're not free to make your own decisions, because it is very strong. The scripture actually calls it the strong man. So that spirit of iniquity is very strong, and it holds your soul captive, and it works within you, you know, causing you, influencing your desires, your emotions, your appetites, your decisions. You know, that spirit of iniquity is truly strong. And because you're born with it, you may think that, and that's all you know, you may think that, no, this is me and I'm making my own decisions, but you're really not. But there comes a time when some way, somehow, your soul starts crying out for something else, because your soul knows right from wrong. And your soul may want to do right, but find out that there's something holding it back. There's something else causing it not to do the right thing. And so with that, you know, there comes a time when you just get to a place where you're like, you know, there must be something else. There must be something more to life. Like, you almost like kind of get fed up or tired with yourself, you know, and you're like, I need more. Some people get depressed, walking in depression, don't even understand what's causing the depression, or don't even understand why they feel the way they feel. But it's because you're tired. You're tired of not serving God. Without even realizing the full ramifications of that, you just get to a place where you're just tired. You want something more. The scripture says that you want to do good, but find that there's evil present. You know, there. I don't know if you can think of a time when you made up your mind that this is, you know, I'm not going to do that again, or this is what I'm going to do the next time this thing comes about, or this situation or this relationship. But you find yourself still doing the opposite, still doing what you either vow not to do again, or you just can't find the power within you, you know, and you get so tired.
To continue to believe, I wanted something more than just seeing it on the peripheral, just hearing about it, just vicariously experiencing it through others. It got to a point where when I was 20, I said, you know, I'm going to fast. I'm not going to eat any food until God speaks to me, because I know he's real. I know he speaks to people, and I want more in my life. That fast didn't end up lasting very long. I was feeling pretty disappointed that I had given up on it. And I went out one night and I started praying and I said, God, I'm going to try this fast again. I need to be serious about this, because I know you're real. I know there's more than what I'm seeing in my own life. So I'm just praying at night. I'm in a park. It's midnight. I'm saying, God, I know you're real. I know you speak to people. Like, do you speak to me? Do you want this kind of relationship with me? And while I'm praying this, I heard this internal voice tell me to go soak myself. I'll cut the story shorter. Like, the shorter version is, I end up all by myself, middle of the night, taking a water bottle that I found in the ground, and I'm pouring it over my head. And because I felt like this is what the voice of God maybe was telling me to do. And I thought it was so strange. So I say to myself, while I'm slowly dumping this water bottle on my head, it's going glug, glug, glug. It's much slower than you would expect. But while this is happening, I'm like, what am I doing? Am I going crazy? What is this? Because why in the world would any sane person just dump water on their head in the middle of the night by themselves in the park? But I went home that night, nothing happened. The next day, my mom took me to a prayer meeting about an hour from our home, so I knew very few people here. When the message was done that night, a lady came over to me and she said, God is speaking to me about you. And she said a few things, but this is one of the things she says. She says, I'm seeing a picture and I'm seeing something being poured on your head. And God says you're going to be radically obedient to him. But in the midst of it, there will be times where you say to yourself, what am I doing? Am I going crazy? What is this? So it was that night where I said, all right, God, like I will live my life for you. I will do what you want me to do. I will go where you want me to go. And that has been amazing. So I would say that as it was like a deeper dedication. And in doing so, it's altered my life. It was shortly after that I joined Youth with a Mission, a Christian missionary organization. It's where I met my wife. I ended up going to India. I had some experiences where, like, I prayed with a group of people for someone who was blind and they got their sight, and I don't know. I'm not going to take the time to go into all the crazy stuff that happened there. But it was just amazing to personally be involved in a God story. Like, it wasn't, I'm living off of somebody else's adventures with God or relationship with God. It was like being able to do it firsthand, which is what God is calling all of us to do.
And this is a great holy call. And he is calling you to be a part of his family. The scripture tells us in Romans 5, verses 12 to 21, that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And this man is named Adam. We're introduced to him in the book of Genesis. He's the first man that God created. And even those who had not eaten of the fruit, they inherited the seed of sin from Adam. God blew the breath of life, air, into Adam, and he became alive. He became a living soul. He was alive. That lump of clay was animated. He could move around. He could feel. He could touch. He could taste. He could smell. He was in a sense. And he had a tremendous opportunity to serve God and govern the earth. Can you imagine having the power to govern the entire world? But Adam was given a law by God. He broke it. He sinned, and Adam, along with his household, us, we were now separated from God. We lost fellowship with the Lord. From that time, man was invaded by the spirit of iniquity. That spirit of iniquity that Tashai spoke of. Man kept searching, 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 wanting more, trying to fill the void, a hunger and a thirst, because man was created to serve God, to love God. Man was created with that soul. There was that thing inside of man, that space that could only be filled by God. The soul can only be complete and satisfied by God. And so when that seed of iniquity comes, that search comes. That's the search that you have. That's the search that I had. Searching. It doesn't matter your age. I was 14. You could be 15. You could be 16. You could be 30, 50, whatever your age is. There is that search. Even if you have all the money in the world, the wealth, the riches, the fame, all the things that you think make you need God. Ephesians 2 tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And it says that we walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Here we see it in the Bible, that there is a spirit working in the children of disobedience. There is a spirit working in those who disobey God. There is a spirit that those who don't know God, those who don't have God on the inside, that spirit of the devil resides in your flesh. And that is what is leading you into sin. That when you want to do good, you find yourself still doing the evil. It is working and producing more and more death. And you have no power over it. So this spirit lives in those who disobey God, those who have not been quickened or made alive by the Spirit of God. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, that's what empowers you to obey God. But if you don't, then there is the presence of another spirit that is leading you into disobedience. So you may ask the question, if this seed is in me, how do I get the seed of righteousness? How do I get the Spirit of God? This spirit of iniquity produces death. So how can you be made alive? Well, you must be born again. Only then will you be able to truly serve God. And only then, when you are born again, will you be able to truly walk in freedom. You see, the Lord has proven himself time and time again, and that's just his love towards us. He is trustworthy. He's able to take your heart, mend it, fashion it for his purpose. Every pain you've ever felt, every injustice and offense is completely healed when you surrender it all to the one who is touched by your infirmities. And that's the perfect definition of love. The scripture tells us in John 15, verse 13, that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And a popular scripture, John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the heart of the Father towards us. And he has done a work that only he could do, where he took on every pain, every sin, and he nailed it to the cross. The old is gone, dead. The past is forgotten, and new has come. The Lord has made it his mission to reach that soul that is dead in trespasses and sins, that soul that is held captive by the enemy because of the very first sin in the Garden of Eden. God's mission is to reach that very soul, wash it, cleanse it, purify it with the word of God, and place it in himself. And the word of God tells us that the body without the spirit is dead. And vice versa, your soul cannot live in this world. It has no legal right to live here if it doesn't have a body. And what God has done is that body and that soul was held captive to sin, dark, producing all kinds of evil lusts and evil thoughts that you had no control over. And that's what the seed of iniquity does. It works. It works. It works death. But when you believe God, which we will continue to talk about inside of this heart-to-heart session, when you believe God and you give over your whole heart to Him, when you truly believe God, He takes that very soul that was held captive and He sets it free by placing it in the Holy Ghost. And in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That man, you are placed in the Holy Ghost. Your soul is cleansed. Your body is cleansed. And your soul in the Holy Ghost is placed in your body and quickened. You are made alive. That's what the apostle said in Ephesians chapter 2, that you have He quickened. He has made you alive. You come alive by the operation of God. When the Holy Ghost quickens that flesh and your soul is in the Holy Ghost, body, soul, and spirit comes alive. That's the only way that you can be free, where the Lord changes every single thing about you. You move from darkness to life, to light, from death to life. Your emotions change, your thoughts change. That's what He wants to do in you, and you will never know that it is real until you experience it, until you experience the transformation of the soul. When you are born again, you die in an instant and you come alive in Christ. Are you excited about this? Do you want this new life? The things around you may never change, but you change and you feel the change on the inside. There is no greater feeling, I said, no greater joy, no greater freedom than to have the Holy Ghost on the inside, where He cleanses your body, He cleanses your soul, your conscience is made alive, and you are now able to serve God. Because with that seed of iniquity, you could not serve God. You wanted to serve Him, but you didn't have the power to serve Him. But now when the Holy Ghost comes, that's the power that is given to sons that enables us to do the will of God and obey Him in all things at all times, wherever we are. That is something to be excited about. That's what creation is groaning for the sons of the living God. The sons are those who walk as God, those who love the Lord and please Him in everything. And that's our desire. And that's what we want for all men. I know that you might have been through a lot. I know what it's like to feel broken, to feel as though nothing good can come from you, insecurities and inferiorities, and you feel like a failure. I know what it's like to feel as though no one is there, or that no one understands. But I also know what it means to base my confidence in the Lord. For you may be saying, I remember once I got a gift from someone. I was actually a teenager at the time. And I got this gift from someone when I was at home. And I unwrapped the gift. And the first thing that came out of my mouth, I threw it on the bed and I said, I don't deserve this. And I have never forgotten that. I unwrapped the gift and I took it up and I threw it on and I said, I don't deserve this. Because as I said, I was a teenager and it looked so good. It was a shoe. It was a shoe, but it looked sneakers, but it looked so good. And I threw it and down and I said, I don't deserve this. But you may be saying, this sounds too good to be true. Well, that's why it is called the good news. You may be saying, I've done so much, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be a child of God. I don't deserve to be a part of a royal family. I don't deserve to be in a royal kingdom, to be used, me to be used by God. God wants to use me. God wants me to be a part of, yes, you. 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 He wants to use you. His family is not complete without you. You are the one we are waiting on. All of us. We are waiting on you for our family to be full, the family of God. We're waiting for you. None of us deserved it, but God chose us anyway. He loved us anyway, and He selected us by His goodwill and His good pleasure. And all we have to do is accept it, receive it, and be grateful for His love towards us. With all the doubts, the failures, the mistakes, all the things, the brokenness, you can start over. The Lord wants to give you a new life. He wants to start anew with you. He wants to give you miraculous experiences, beautiful fellowship with Him. It is certainly going to take a brave heart, and I do mean brave heart, to walk this journey. Because the enemy is gonna come and he may be saying things to you right now, but those are lies. And I dare you to say, I will be the brave heart to believe what the Lord is saying and go on this adventurous journey with God. I thank God, though, that the brave heart is Christ. He's drawing you and he's saying, I'm with you, just free fall, I'll catch you. I'll catch you. You may think, oh, I'm going to be brave and do this, but it's really Christ. It's really Christ. And He's the one that will empower you to walk this walk. And let me tell you something about this brave heart. He's not intimidated by any giant, pride, greed, guilt, lust, meanness, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism. Whatever it is, high-mindedness, murders, drunkenness, abortion, racism, colorism, hatred, drug addiction, you name it, he's not intimidated by that. There is no height nor depth where this brave heart can't reach down and snatch you out of it. You might have been lied on, cursed, raped, molested, whatever it is, beaten, verbally, physically abused, this brave heart can reach you, heal you, and snatch you out of that brokenness. There is nothing you've ever done or experienced that he can't save you from. He wants to make you new. He wants to give you a new heart. You too can have the fullness, the peace. You too can have the fullness, the peace, the joy. And it comes from this brave heart. The question is, do you want it? Will you go all the way? Do you want more? Do you want to be free? Do you want to serve God? Are you tired and in need of anew?
That was the case with me. I was you know, living my life, and I was enjoying sin at one point in time, like really enjoying my life. But then there comes a time, and I don't know what caused that shift, but there came a time when I was just kind of just tired of life, tired of what was going on, and I felt miserable within myself. Nothing excited me anymore. I wasn't finding pleasure in the things that I used to find pleasure in. And long story short, I literally started seeking God without even knowing that I was seeking God. You know, and I came to a place where I had a dream. I had a dream, and that dream stayed with me. That dream, it was like it was just so real, and I actually wanted to find out more what is going on. You know, I heard the gospel and I heard things, but wasn't really studying much, you know. I wasn't brought up in church. I wasn't one that went to Sunday school and understand anything. And Christianity wasn't something that I desired. It wasn't something that I made, you know, like I'm going to be saved one day, or I want to be saved. It wasn't a part of my makeup, so to speak. But there came a time when, you know, I heard, you know, different ones would, sometimes I heard it on the radio station, on the television station, you hear about God and you hear things. And I used to read my Bible. Strange enough, I used to read the Bible and knew of God and knew some things, but it wasn't a part of me where I had any desire to be saved. But there came a time when I just kind of was just tired of life, period. Tired of what I was living, tired of how I was feeling. And then, as I said, I had a dream that I was actually preaching the gospel, speaking in tongues, and casting out demons out of a child. And that thing just shook me. And I started asking questions. I went to work the next day, and there were Christians within my department, and I started asking them questions, telling them that I had this dream and what does it mean? And nobody could tell me what it means. But one person said to me, maybe the Lord is drawing you. Maybe the Lord is calling you. That's what he said. He said, maybe the Lord is calling you. The Lord wants to use you. And I was like, use me? What, you know, what does that mean? Because I wasn't brought up in church. I don't know anything about that. But that dream stayed with me, and it just wouldn't leave me. And so the things, the little seeds that were planted before in my life about God, I started thinking about it, like God just started stirring up some things in me, and I started seeking God. As far as I knew, started seeking God. And then, you know, started going to church. I started going to church with people who used to invite me to church, and I didn't go. My co-workers and stuff, I started, you know, accepting the invitation now. And then when I went, it was like I just wanted more. I wanted more. I didn't know what was going on with me. I just wanted more. But that was that seeking, and the word was washing me. You know, the word was washing me. There was a time I remember I went to church with one of my friends, and I didn't hear. I can't tell you anything that the preacher preached. I don't remember a song that was sung. All I know is that while I was there, I could not stop crying. There was just a washing. I was just crying out to God. I just wanted God. I just wanted God. And I continued seeking God until I became filled with the Holy Spirit. I became filled with the Holy Spirit. And I must tell you that everything changed within me. My desires changed. My emotions changed. My appetite changed. My decision making. It felt like God was making the decisions for me. It's like, and I had this hunger and thirst for just righteousness. I just wanted holiness and righteousness, and I wanted God more and more and more. It's like I didn't even know myself anymore. I was born again. And one of the biggest things that happened when I got filled with the Holy Spirit was that I felt so free. Oh my goodness, I felt so free. There was a peace that came over me that I just couldn't even comprehend. I felt so free. I felt so light. So like a weight was lifted off me, and I felt so different, just so different within myself, because now a different spirit came in me. And that spirit that came in me was the Holy Spirit, and that spirit was freedom. It brought liberty. It brought liberty to me, you know. So That happens to a lot of us. Like, that's the goal of God, for all of us to get to that place where we seek God and get to a place where we are born again. It is his desire that all be born again, that none perish, right? Because if you stay in the state with the spirit of iniquity, it's damnation. It's going to be, you're going to perish in that state, because the spirit of iniquity produces nothing holy, nothing righteous. It produces death. It produces unholiness. It produces sin. It is sin. And the spirit of God brings a freedom from sin, where you are now free unto righteousness. You're free to serve God. You're free to do the things that God wants you to do, you know, to please him. That's what that spirit does. So that freedom causes you to now be able to choose righteousness. Before, we couldn't choose righteousness. You can't choose righteousness, because the spirit of iniquity is what influences everything that you do. Even the so-called good things, it's laced somewhere. It the motive behind it, something within it, is not pure, you know. And God doesn't accept that. He wants you to be holy and pure.
Romans 6 verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. This new life gives us the power to obey God. So why do we need this life? Because the life we inherited from our forefather Adam is corrupt, and the seed of sin causes that life to work evil continually. That old life is sold under sin and produces death. Even the good we think that we may have is corrupted by that seed. It takes the Lamb of God to wash us, cleanse us. God himself has to cut away that seed. He cuts away that seed and he washes us with pure water, his word, and fills us up, fills the void with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, the search is over, because he completes us. This spiritual operation is the best feeling in a man, woman, boy, or girl. There is nothing to compare. Freedom has come. So do you want to be saved?
There was a time where I was just actively praying, God, what does it mean to be saved? Like, I don't want to tell people too little and they're missing the mark. And I don't want to tell people too much and it's putting a burden on them. Like, I want to know, if I'm telling people this is what it means to be saved, like, I just want to be able to tell them, no more, no less. So I'd been praying this for a while. One day I'm driving in a new city. I don't know the radio stations here because it's a new place to me. And while I'm driving through this area, I'm praying this prayer again, like, God, I want to know what it means to be saved. And again, I hear this internal voice, like I had heard years prior. And this voice tells me, turn on the radio, go to 100.7 or 107.5 or whatever number it was. And I actually said back to God, I was like, no, I don't want to listen to the radio. I want to pray right now. I felt like, turn on the radio, go to the station. So I turn it on, and within about a minute, I hear this guy on the radio, is a Christian radio station, and the guy goes, and this is how we know what it means to be saved. In the book of Romans, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I just thought this was amazing. Like, God would hear my prayer and he would give me an answer. And even though I didn't hear this audible voice of da-da-da-da-da, it was like I was instructed to do something and I followed through with this and I got my answer. And it's not just, I think it's big to be grounded in the word. People will say that all over Christianity, but like, the answer was in the Bible. I do want to say with this though, is like, freedom we have freedom in Christ. The New Testament is quite clear about this. It's this whole new dynamic of the Jews have been under the law, and under the law, nobody was righteous, nobody was perfect, everybody failed. It didn't matter who you were, at some point you were sinning, you were failing. I've heard it described as kind of like a window is your life, and sin is a rock, and it's like one little sin, it just shatters all the. It's like you are now a sinner, you are now a lawbreaker, because it's the law. And there was nobody faultless until Jesus came along. And it says that he has taken the place of us. He's chosen to be a sacrificial lamb on our behalf. So the punishments we should have received for being these sinners, for being these lawbreakers, Jesus has chosen to take upon himself. But being in very nature God, even though he died, he rose from the dead again. So he died for us, but he rose to life for us as well. And all of that to say that instead of us being under the law in this sense, we now have this freedom. We do have freedom in Christ. In the book of Galatians, it says, "It's for the sake of freedom you have been set free." So it's like we have been set free. We're told this. But then we're told, don't use your freedom to indulge in sinful stuff, to do crazy stuff. And it's so much to the extent, it's like a paradox or an oxymoron. The Paul, who wrote more than half of the New Testament, he's the one who keeps saying, like, we have freedom, we're free, we're free, we have this freedom, we have liberty. But at the same time, this man who is such a proponent of freedom, he says, I'm free, and this is what I'm going to do with my freedom. I am going to make myself a bond servant to Christ. I will live my life for him. And that's the insanity of this gospel, this good news, is that someone who is so invested in it, so involved in it, would be able to say, I have choice, and in this choice, I'm choosing to give up my rights and just follow after what God has for me. Jesus himself says, take up your cross daily and follow me, which is part of the like how to continue. If I know plenty of people who have like said a prayer and they say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, and then a year later, you wouldn't have even known that there was any decision like that at all. It's supposed to be like a daily thing. And I think anyone who's trying to be serious about following Jesus, they're not just taking freedom as I have liberty to do what I want, but it should spur you on to say, I'm free, but God is so good, I will live my life for him. Because that's the best place you can be in.
Christ is certainly the best place we could be. Yes, he is a person, but he is also our safe place. We experience the life of Christ by way of the Spirit of God. I encourage you, believe the gospel, believe in Jesus. He is the Savior, Redeemer, the one who died for the sins of this world. He shed his blood so that we could be reconciled, and we are now saved by his life. Accept his sacrifice and embrace the new life that he wants to give you. He wants to live in you and continue his life on earth through these bodies that he bought with his precious blood. He wants to change you and fill you with faith and hope. He wants to make you holy, perfect, acceptable unto God, and fit for the Master's use. He lived, he died, he was crucified, but he is risen, and he wants you to experience the power of his resurrection. Believe this gospel, so shall you be saved. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Romans 10,
9-13. When you call upon the Lord, it is a heart posture that is willing to give up all that you are for all that he is. And he does a marvelous work in us. And the change is undeniable. He translates us from darkness to light and purges us from the inside out. Then he takes residence in these bodies, making us holy, acceptable, a living sacrifice, now free to serve him. We become the righteousness of God.
There's a scripture, Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, that says, For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's what happens with salvation. That's what happens when you get saved, when you are born again. You are free from the law of sin and death. Free from the law of sin and death. And so within that, you truly, you know, it's pleasing unto God. No, you can be pleasing unto God. No, you have that liberty. No, you have that lightness that I spoke about, because that weight of sin, because sin is heavy. Sin is heavy. It carries a weight to it. You know, it carries a weight to it. But that spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, gives you that newness of life, where you are no longer held bound and held in bondage by the spirit of iniquity. By the spirit of iniquity. And there's another scripture that I want to share, Galatians 5 and verse 1. And it says, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free. Stand in that liberty where Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again by the yoke of bondage, because that spirit of iniquity is a yoke of bondage. He says, you no longer have to be, and don't be entangled, but stay free. I've made you free. Stay there. So if you're a son of God, if you are born again, and you have the spirit of Christ within you, you don't need a deliverance. There's no deliverance for you, because you've already been delivered. God has already, the spirit of Christ have already made you free, and you're delivered from sin and bondage, right? And so you can walk there. You can choose holiness. You can choose righteousness. You can choose to please God forever and ever and ever. Amen. Right? And if you are not saved, you can find salvation. You can get to that place where God can take that spirit of iniquity out of you and give you himself, that spirit of life, that spirit of that Holy Spirit, that liberty. You too can find that liberty within Christ, you know, by coming to him, by acknowledging it, by surrendering unto him as you hear his word, and that word bears witness with you when you find that if you really want that freedom, because all of us go through that stage where we are able to identify that something is wrong, something is missing, I need more, you know, that there's got to be more to life than this. You know, I'm not happy here, you know. And what is missing is the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit that's missing. So today you too can find that Spirit, because indeed, Jesus, he is the one that guarantees that freedom within you. He guarantees that liberty. There's no other way. There, no matter where you search, where you try to find it, no matter what you achieve, what you accomplish, you will never find true freedom. You will never try find true freedom, because there's no greater freedom. There's no greater liberty than that which is it, that is found in Christ, that which is found in God, and that is the Holy Spirit. So you that you need to be saved to be able to experience that freedom, to be able to experience that freedom. And I tell you, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. He's the only guarantee. There's no other way. There's no other way to get to that freedom, that liberty in the Spirit. It is found only in the Spirit of Christ. And we, as he said, stand fast. As the scripture says, stand fast in that liberty. Stand fast in that freedom wherein which Christ has made you free. Those of us that are saved have to stand fast right there. We have to hold, remain in that state. Remain in that state, because yes, you can choose to be entangled again by not walking in obedience to God, but the scripture says, stay where I have created you. I have made you free. Enjoy that freedom. Stay in that freedom. Choose holiness. Choose righteousness. Choose the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in obedience, and you will be able to stand fast in that place, in that in the Holy Spirit, right? So in my closing, I just want to say that if the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be free indeed. You need Jesus. You need the Son of God to make you free. And those of us that have already experienced the Son of God within us, we are sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, and we are indeed free.
Woo! Free indeed. We want to give you the opportunity to respond to the mercy of God. We have said a lot inside of this session, and God is extending himself to you right now. You are invited to be a part of the royal family of God, and the kingdom awaits you. We've asked you several questions throughout this session. Will you go all the way? Do you want more? Do you want to be free? Do you want to truly serve God? Do you want to be saved? If your answer is yes, we've shown you how. Believe in Jesus. He's the only way to God, the only path of righteousness and truth. He's the only peace and the only Savior. Humble yourself and believe this truth. And with that heart of humility, repent. Turn away from your sins. Turn in your own heart. Turn away from your preferences and your desires. Put away your idols and all the things that have taken your attention. Make a decision that God is the one that you want above all, and that if those things are taken away, it's okay, because Christ is the one you're after anyway. Repent, repent, and ask God's forgiveness. Let the Lord know, I'm sorry. I am sorry for all that I have done, all the sin, all the thoughts, the things that have not pleased you, just the way I have lived, my speech, everything. I lay it down and I turn away from it. Bring that fruit of repentance. Confess your sins and deny yourself. Cease to exist. Want God more than you want your very life, more than you want you. Commit your soul to the Lord. If you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, the Lord promises that He will fill you up. So open your heart right now. If you heard anything today that has left an impression, an indelible mark on your heart, and you hear the Lord calling you, just do that. Repent. Humble yourself. Confess. Ask the Lord to forgive you. And if your heart is there, just receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Open your heart and receive Him. It's that easy. It's not hard. If you have come to the place where Tashai came, Jeremy came, Kifa came, I came, where we just didn't want our lives anymore, we wanted God above all else, there is nothing stopping you from being saved right now. If any man lacks the Spirit of God, just ask for it. You need the Holy Ghost. Freedom is right here in the Spirit. As Tashai quoted the scripture in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Freedom is in the Spirit of God. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Father, we thank You today for Your great plan of salvation, for Your great love towards us. We thank You, Lord, that You had this plan hidden in Yourself before You said, "Let there be." And You designed it so that we would partake of everlasting life. We would partake of life in the Spirit. That's the great calling, the great life that You have for each and every one of us. And we thank You. For this tells us of the great love that You have, for the merciful God that You are, and for the good Father that You have been and that You continue to be. We thank You for Your mercy, and we lay down our lives. We lay down everything concerning us so that we could grab a hold of eternal life. For everything in this world will burn, but we want to see Your face in peace, and we want to hear, "Well done." We want to be those that You can use in this time to manifest Your glory. So forgive us of every sin, every way, everything that we have done. And we ask that You would wash, cleanse, and purge that one today who doesn't know You. Take that seed of sin out. Oh, Holy God, translate them even now by their belief, that belief that they have come to You with, Lord God. You see that heart. You said our work is to believe You. And so You see that heart that believes You, and You say, if we believe You, we shall be saved. You will take our belief, our faith, and You will give us Your faith, which is the Holy Ghost. So, oh God, capture that heart and that soul. Fill them up with Your peace, Your love, Your joy, Your righteousness. Fill them up, oh God, with the fullness of You. Save that soul as they have come surrendering all. And we
thank you for salvation. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for freedom. Thank you, Lord, that there is no greater freedom. There is no greater joy. There is no greater peace than to be found in you. Thank you, Lord, that the enemy has lost again because you're loosing that soul from darkness to light. You are loosing, oh God, that soul, God, from captivity to freedom. We declare freedom over every household that is watching, over every nation. We declare freedom. We declare Jesus. Jesus has come to you. Jesus has come. Jesus has come. Jesus has come. Hallelujah. And we believe you, Jesus. We believe you, Lord. We receive all that you have for us. We receive your life in its fullness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Believe and receive. Believe and receive. Believe and receive the holy life of God. Believe and receive. The mystery of Christ has come in you. You are now the mystery. People are going to wonder what happened to you. But it is God. As somebody said, Jesus did it. He is the only one that can save. And he has proven himself in your life that indeed he is Savior. You can now say he is Savior because he has saved you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for spending this time with us inside of the Roadblock Podcast or Heart to Heart Conversation. This is our special feature on freedom. There is no greater freedom. And I pray that that is your testimony. If this has been a blessing to you, share it with someone that they too will be blessed. It has been my pleasure being here and bringing this session to you. Until next time, I'm Nicolette Swabe saying rejoice, and you now have a reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. Feel the breeze, smell the roses, smile with your neighbor, and walk on water. Bye for now.